Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Saga automates the launching of these chainlets. If you look at our web app experience now, it's about 5 seconds to putting in the chain parameters. You hit submit, and then it takes about a minute for the validators to sync, and then you have your own chainlet. You have your own layer one within about a minute, and you can have as many of these as you like. Automating the experience of launching chains is something that is unique to us, and we are the first to market for that.
The Protocol is presented by the Stellar Community Fund. Accelerate your Web3 project with Stellar funding.
There's a new layer one on the block, and it's focused on enabling the next 1,000 chains in gaming and entertainment. Saga recently launched on mainnet with 350 projects in its innovator program and an airdrop campaign that includes several gaming partners. The Saga mainnet hopes to simplify the process for developers to launch their own dedicated blockchains called chainlets. So how does this all work? What does the future look like for Web3 games? And what makes this layer one competitive in a growing landscape? We have the perfect person here to unpack this layer one that's been getting a lot of hype lately. Rebecca Lau, welcome to First Mover.
Thanks so much for having me, Jen. It's great to be here.
Well, let's talk about Saga. I mentioned it in my introduction there. Your mission is to enable the next 1,000 chains in gaming and entertainment. That sounds like quite a feat. Talk to me about how you're going to do this.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. And you're absolutely right. Saga is a layer one, but we are a very unique layer one in that we are a layer one to launch layer ones. So by definition, everyone who's building on us is on their own layer one or set of layer ones, which we call chainlets. And all of these chainlets speak to one another. There is interoperability out of the box. And therefore, you can have as many layer ones as you like supporting your particular application. So it is a very high performance environment. And that's why we always say we are designing for infinite horizontal scalability. You can have as many layer ones supporting your application as you need. And the reason we're focused on gaming and entertainment is when we looked at the landscape and thought, who really needs this? It really is games. It really is games that are focused on UI UX above everything else, on that costless experience for the end user, on reducing friction and making it a fun and entertaining experience as much as possible.
How does this solve the challenges that folks who are building Web3 games and folks that are building entertainment applications that use Web3, how does it solve some of the challenges for them?
Absolutely. So let's get down to fundamentals. The way that a game or even an NFT project that's doing a massive drop, the way that they are structured is they have lots of on-chain transactions. So you imagine all the actions in a game that matter and that would want to be recorded on-chain. There's a lot of them throughout the course of any play session. And the only way that a layer one or any sort of blockchain can really handle that kind of volume is by scaling. Now, the trick with gaming and entertainment as well is that you want to make it as frictionless as possible for that end user, and cost does factor into that. So high and variable gas fees are a distinct barrier to entry for these kinds of applications. Now, you think about DeFi, which has dominated Web3 applications so far. DeFi has the opposite dynamic. So DeFi has actually a relatively low volume of transactions, comparatively speaking. But each transaction value is high enough such that gas fees, while painful for everyone, they are tolerable. And so really in gaming and entertainment, you are looking for as high performance an environment as possible, and you're looking to reduce cost on the front end as much as possible. If you can get it to costless transactions, which Socket has, all the better. So in many ways, even though we are a general purpose layer one, so there is DeFi building on us, as well as various kinds of applications outside of gaming and entertainment, truly it is gaming that has come to this chain.
You know, there have been a lot of layer twos that are working to solve the same problems that you just laid out for me. Talking about the differences, why might a developer choose to build a chainlet on top of Saga rather than layer two?
Absolutely. So I would focus on three main differences. So first and foremost, every single chainlet on Saga is its own fully decentralized proof of stake chain. It is a full chain with a full validator set. The way that we accomplish this is every single time a developer is deploying on Saga, we are replicating ourselves. So we have a Saga mainnet. It's got a decentralized set of validators, and every single chainlet is a replica of that validator set and security model. So that opens up a world of possibilities. First and foremost, that architecture is unique. Every single layer two out there is by and large single sequencer rollups. So a centralized database, in other words, not a chain. And it's got to roll up to the mother chain in order to settle their transactions. So that opens up a whole host of differences in feature set. So first one is automation. So Saga automates the launching of these chainlets. If you look at our web app experience now, it's about 5 seconds to putting in the chain parameters, you hit submit, and then it takes about a minute for the validators to sync, and then you have your own chainlet. You have your own layer one within about a minute, and you can have as many of these as you like. Automating the experience of launching chains is something that is unique to us, and we are the first to market for that. So that's the first distinction. It's just ease of use for the developers. The second major distinction is the costless fees. So for most layer twos, the way that they try to reduce cost on gas is they will batch transactions from a bunch of layer twos, but ultimately a layer two has to settle on a layer one. And so once they batch these transactions, it is sent to the layer one, and the hope is that the aggregate transaction amount when the transactions are sent at a more optimal time will hopefully reduce the gas fees. And by and large, they have been successful in reducing fees, but definitely not getting them down to a level where it's sustainable for an application like gaming and entertainment. So you have to keep in mind that even for a gaming application, gas fees that are as low as 5 cents or sub penny are still really expensive when you aggregate that over the number of transactions that you're dealing with in a game. Now, for Saga, we are feeless. So on the front end, we do not show up. The Saga token does exist, but it is used only by developers to pay the validators to keep their chainlets alive. On the front end, we by default do not show up. So we don't charge gas fees to the end user. We leave it entirely up to the developer to monetize however they like. So if they want to charge their own token, if they want to charge fiat, stablecoin, if they have a big community in another ecosystem and they want to charge that token instead, that's totally fine. If for whatever reason they want to use Saga as a fee token for branding purposes, we're okay with that, but we do not mandate it at all. So second big advantage is the costless transactions. And the third is interoperability. None of these L2s are able to speak to one another or have fast bridging to other chains. And when it comes to scaling, of course, you need all these instances to speak to each other as much as possible. And you need that fast bridging to other ecosystems.
Now, gaming is really near and dear to my heart. So I'm focusing in on that part. I know that it's 80% of what's going on Saga right now. But I have to ask you, we're talking about the automation of these chains. It sounds like you're really working to make the process of bringing games, especially in the Web3 space, to life easier.
Yes.
Are you hoping to attract Web3 developers who are already building these games? Or are you hoping to maybe get some of those Web2 developers who have been reluctant, they've been on the sidelines, it's been a little bit difficult for them to implement this technology into the games that they're already building, more comfortable with Web3? Who's your target there?
Absolutely. So the way that we have approached it is we are well aware that we have to win at home first. And so the Web3 developers who are looking into gaming, who have been building games for the last 2-3 years, that is the core audience. And I would say that most people who are in the Innovator Program with games that are ready to go this year, they fall into that category. Having said that, there is a huge advantage in Web2 gaming, traditional gaming. But the way that we approach it is, yes, we do have to make the developer experience as easy as possible. But that's not enough, because a Web3 game is very different from a Web2 game. It's not enough to just say to a Web2 game, well, it's so easy to get onto Web3. All you have to do is just put a few transactions on chain. All you have to do is take your in-game assets and make them NFTs on chain, or introduce a token into your game as opposed to your usual in-game currency. None of those solutions are going to translate to dollar signs for these game developers in Web2. So you have to really speak their language and achieve the goals that they want to achieve. They are looking for user acquisition. They're looking for retention of users. They are looking to grow their communities through UGC, user-generated content. They are looking for greater social engagement. They're looking for stronger communities. That is what matters to a Web2 game developer. It matters to a Web3 game developer as well. But Web2 has been thinking about these problems for a very long time. There are many ways in which crypto uniquely solves these problems, but when we talk to a Web2 developer, we do emphasize the ease of the development experience, but we're really focused on making sure that their business, really their game or their game studio, can grow using crypto.
I'm so happy you said that. It is definitely not easy to just take a Web2 game and slap some Web3 elements on it and then get people to actually use this, let alone developers to build it out and really think thoughtfully about right. in-game economies. And so, yes, thank you for saying that. Now, I want to talk about something that lots of people have been talking about. People are very excited about it on Twitter. Right. Your airdrop campaign that is named after a Dragon Ball Z yes. reference, a meme that I think everyone knows, power level over 9,000. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So power level over 9,000 is an incredibly ambitious go-to-market campaign for all of our closest partners. So we launched Mainnet, obviously had a very big Genesis airdrop of our own. And what we learned during that launch campaign is that we have got a user acquisition engine going, and all of our partners noticed it as well. And so when it came time to really reward the ecosystem for being early and reward our community for being early, we thought this is the perfect way to do it. So Power Level Over 9000 is a campaign of over 100 tokens and NFTs that are going to be airdropped to Saga stakers. And a lot of these tokens are going to be coming from our chainlets. So it's going to be innovators who are building on us. Some of them will be tokens that are actually recognizable in the market already, but many of them will be new. But I think what's really distinctive about this particular program is that we are including a lot of live tokens from partners on other ecosystems that are coming onto Saga. So people like Shrapnel, Wilder World, YGG, the Sandbox, OG in the Metaverse, Explo, which is a come to us chain, the largest mobile game publisher in the world, MarbleX, which is a Netmarble chain, third largest game publisher in the world overall, Engines of Fury, which is a new game, and then a few special collaborations that we're going to announce over the next few weeks. But the idea was to really give back to the ecosystem and the community. And I think all these partners are here because they recognize the Saga community is where gamers are at. This is where they are going to grow their user base. So 100 plus tokens, it's not going to all come at once. Everyone's going to get their due and time in the spotlight. So this is going to roll out over the next few months. It's an incredibly exciting project, and we're just very grateful for all the partnership and collaboration with all these projects in our ecosystem.
Look into your crystal ball for me. Tell me, yeah. you know, if this all works out, if this thesis that we all have who work in this industry works mm-hmm. out, what does the future of gaming look like to you in 5 years?
5 years. So I'll talk about what Web3 gaming looks like, and then I'll talk about wider gaming, because I do think that we will make it, because we will have made a greater impact on the gaming industry, and given the size of the gaming industry, I would say on society writ large. So I'll go small first into Saga's contribution and then go into the larger social view. So in terms of Saga's goals, so I'll never forget that had a conversation with the head of gaming at Samsung, who was talking about getting a Saga storefront onto Samsung Galaxy Play, and was asking a top Web3 game, how many MAUs, monthly active users? And this was deep in the bear market, but still, I said about 50,000. And he said, what is this Web3 gaming revolution I keep hearing about? If a game does not have at least 1 million MAUs, it is not considered competitive. And so my goal this year, especially with our innovators, but really with a Saga publishing house called Saga Origins, we are going to land that game, or maybe a couple games that are going to reach those levels, at least 1 million MAUs. So that's the goal of Saga in terms of user acquisition and retention. Now, in terms of what we hope to contribute to wider gaming, I would say that growth in gaming is dependent on games like Fortnite, like Roblox, where they really encourage user-generated content. They really encourage modding of the game. So not moderating, but modifying of the game. And it really is about fostering that creative expression among your gamer community that you really grow your title. And everyone would like to capture that magic, but I don't think a big centralized studio can do it. A Web3 title is much better positioned to do it. Now, you zoom out and look at all the trends that are happening in AI as well. Everyone is using generative AI in all of their gaming artwork, in all of their gameplay. And the marriage of that and crypto, I think, is going to happen first in gaming. And so the confluence of those two technologies in the hands of individual users with democratized generation of creative content is incredibly powerful. And I think it'll be exactly what iTunes, Facebook, TikTok, that kind of impact on our society, that's what we have to look forward to over the next 5-10 years.
I'm so surprised to hear that that came from Samsung. Samsung has been pretty forward-thinking, I think, when it comes to Web3, pretty open to experimenting, but they also really understand the gaming space. So I don't know, I was surprised to hear that. Were you surprised?
I was not surprised to hear it because I think that it was definitely, put it this way, it was difficult feedback to hear because the difference between 50,000 and a million MAUs is quite a lot, but I think it was necessary. And it was very welcome feedback because now we know, in all honesty, what is the goal? What is the goal for us to be taken seriously, not just Saga, but for the industry writ large to be taken seriously in wider gaming? What does success look like? And so Samsung is incredibly forward thinking. They are one of the few, they are the only app store at the moment to really welcome on applications that have those tokens or those NFTs, and they have obviously invested in a lot of Web3 projects. So they are incredibly forward-thinking. But I think they wanted to deliver a hard truth, and it was very welcome because it's given us a real goal to work towards.
And the last question here before we wrap up, why do you think there hasn't been a really good Web3 game yet? And when I say really good, I guess like really successful. Why do you think that it's been so tough for Web3 games to break out into the mainstream?
I think that the development cycle for Web3 gaming is something that developers, frankly, have to really figure out. And I do think that after a couple cycles of going after these games, they are figuring it out. But in traditional gaming, you have years to work on a game. So you tease a game and then the community gets excited. You go away for a few years to really work on it. And a game is complicated. I mean, think about a movie that you can actually interact with. It's not easy to build a game. And then a few years later, it comes out, big hoopla, all of that. So the time frame is a lot longer. Now, in crypto, you can already imagine a few years is maybe two cycles. And so timing is incredibly important. And if you put out a game that's like half-baked, it's not going to be very good. You may capture the revenue from NFTs or a token sale, but it's not going to be a very good game. But I mean, that is not casting aspersions at all on the development team. You just had to face the pressure of the cycle in crypto. So now I think people are figuring out, okay, what is it that we can give the community before the game is fully finished such that we can start to build that community? We can get them engaging. We can get them, you know, very interesting opportunities and assets to work with. But we still preserve the opportunity to release a really, really great game. I think people are figuring out that cycle. That's probably why you haven't seen a breakthrough title yet. It's just the pressure of the user cycle in crypto just hasn't really allowed for it. But I think it's getting better.
I keep saying that we have to go. We really have to go after this one. But one last question.
Go
Do you think that a small game company is going to come up and dethrone the centralized players? Or do you think it's going to take participation from some of the centralized players, the big game publishers we know today working with the Web3 companies to really make this dream come to fruition?
I definitely think that innovation always comes from the grassroots. And so it's not necessarily just going to be Web3 native studios that are going to produce these games. It's also going to be indie studios in traditional gaming that are going to realize the opportunity here, that have the freedom to experiment, who are also going to bring those great titles to market. I do think that for the large studios, and we've seen this in greater entertainment as well, is it's incredibly hard to innovate because they are followers. They will see that a technology really takes hold before they inevitably pour money into it and then try to catch up. So while we always welcome conversations with the larger studios, we understand that it really is in the smaller, more nimble, more innovation-minded studios where we're going to see the first adoption. And inevitably, whatever the big studios produce, the taste, the look and feel, the artwork, the gameplay, all of that is going to follow what's already come. So it really does come from the grassroots. It's much harder work to sell to many as opposed to just a few. But inevitably, I think every technology trend follows that pattern.
Rebecca, thanks so much for joining First Mover.
Thanks
it was
so much,
a pleasure.
Jen.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.